It's good to see you all this morning, and you're very welcome. So pleased that God is a God who can speak. You would have thought maybe that Tim and I got together and arranged the service this morning, but I had no idea what songs he was going to choose, and he had no idea what I was going to speak on. Yet the scriptures that I'm going to read, we've just sung virtually. And so I think God is speaking. God has something to say to us. Now, I want you all to feel at home. So don't worry about the kids if they want to run up and down and they have been here a long time. That's fine. I'm very conscious of children making noises. That's come out wrongly, but you know what I mean. I'm a dad. I was a dad. I still am a dad in one sense. And I know children are children, and we rejoice in that. And the Father and the Lord Jesus said, let the little children come unto me and forbid them not. And if by any reason you've got time pressures, you've got to be somewhere else, don't be embarrassed. Just leave when you're ready to leave. And I'm happy with that. We're all happy that we all understand. So let's pray. Let's ask God to speak to our hearts. And then let's ask that question, is he worthy to be worshipped? Father God, we thank you for our time here. We thank you for Tim and Ruth as they've led us into your presence in song and in thanksgiving and in testimony and around the Lord's table. He is worthy. Yes, we confess that. He is worthy to be praised. He is worthy of our worship. He is just worthy because he is worthy. And Father, as we listen to your word and we speak your truth, we pray that you would speak into our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start by asking you a question. Who or what do most people, and I mean non-religious people, in 2022 worship? Who do you think they do? Where do they spend their time, their energy, their resources? To whom or to what do they give their attention? Would anybody care to give a suggestion?
I'd say mobile phones.
Yeah. Well, there are numerous things that people invest their worship in. I just want to give you some suggestions. Sport is one, isn't it? I had that one about Chelsea there because I thought Martin might be here. But on weekends, people go down, majority men, but not just men, families and men and women, they go down to that temple of sport, don't they? And they all sit or they stand there, and together they raise their hands and they praise their team and they sing their songs and they rejoice or they grieve, depending upon the result. But I was watching, I was watching Match of the Day, and Chelsea were playing Liverpool, and fortunately Chelsea didn't lose. But I noticed the sign on the gantry. It's not easy to see. Chelsea, what did it say? It says, Chelsea, our religion. I thought, what? What's that doing there? But people do worship sport, don't they? And I had that other poster, football, my religion. I found that on the internet, and the person is standing in the form of a cross. And I thought, that is interesting. Other things we might worship, and by worship we give our attention, we put in the place of God. It could be hobbies, it could be activities, it could be entertainment. Jimi Hendrix gave this quote, music is my religion. That's what he worshipped. That's what he gave his time and attention to. That's what replaced God. It could be our home, couldn't it? It could be material possessions. It could be strange things like out of this Star Wars franchise. I'm a Mandalorian. I hadn't a clue what that is. But apparently it's one of the stormtroopers, I'm told. And one of their catchphrases is, this is the way. Wow. But we do worship strange things. But perhaps one of the biggest things we worship as a community, as people, but maybe even ourselves, and that's why I've got that selfie up there, is we worship ourselves. We make much of ourselves, do we not? We take photos of ourselves. We share these photos on social media because we want people to like us. We want people to approve of us. We want people to notice us. We want people to make much of us. So we worship ourselves. Did you know, and probably Mark knows this already, that the average person, according to the BBC last week, spends, the average time a person spends on their smartphone each day is 4 hours and 48 minutes. I couldn't believe that. That's what one of these app providers calculated, that people in the UK spend 4 hours 48 minutes. You can take it or leave it, it's on the BBC website. There it is. So the question is, who do we worship? So let me take you to a scene in heaven and to our first reading. John the Apostle has been taken up into heaven. Now I don't know whether this is it by vision or in person. And he sees this scene, he sees the throne room of God. This is in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 to 15. And he sees around the throne room four living creatures, or four supernatural beings. And he sees 24 elders around it. And he sees hordes and hordes of angels. And he sees a lamb standing there as though it had been slain. And he tries to describe what he sees. And this is what he writes. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. And as I was thinking, what should I bring to the church this service? It's the first opportunity I have to preach to you. So should I bring a word of encouragement? Because we need to be encouraged. We've had a hard 2 years. Should I bring a word of challenge? It's good to be challenged. But maybe sometimes challenging can be challenged too far. Sometimes we need to be comforted. Should I bring a warning? Because we need to be warned. We need to be warned that we must not grow cold. We must not drift away. But then I thought, well, John was in a terrible place. He was on an island called the Island of Patmos, which was a penal colony. That means it was a type of prison. And they weren't fed. They had to somehow feed themselves. And he would have had it rougher than any of us had had it rougher. Rough. And he presents Jesus Christ. And I thought, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to bring before the church Jesus Christ and tell you that he is worthy of our worship. So that's all I'm going to do this morning, just put him before you. Why is he worthy? Why is he worthy of our worship? So we go to, this second reading is found in Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. I just want to stop there for a second. Do you believe the time is near? Are you aware that Jesus is coming back? He's going to come back for his people. He's going to come back for you who trust and believe in him. But if you don't trust and believe in him, you're going to be left behind. That's what scripture says. He's coming and the time is near. you ready for it? John, and then he goes on. John to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth, on earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he's coming on the clouds. Everyone will see him, including those who pierced him. All people on earth will mourn over him. So shall it be. So I pray that today you're going to be encouraged by God's word. And I pray that you're going to be blessed, because the promise is given. Blessed are those who hear it, this word, and who receive it and who obey it. So, why do we worship Jesus? Why do you come down here every Sunday morning and spend 90 minutes or so singing and praising and praying and talking with people? Why? Christ is worthy because the first thing is he is God. He is the Alpha and Omega. Now, does any of the kids know what Alpha is? It's a letter, isn't it? In which alphabet? Yeah. Yeah, it's the first letter of the Greek alphabet. And what's Omega? It's the last letter in the Greek alphabet. It's our A to Z, isn't it? There's nothing that comes before A, and there's nothing that comes after Z. He is the beginning and the end. And the prophet Isaiah says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He is the one to be worshipped, the only one. Do you remember that time when Jesus was tempted by Satan? And he said to Satan, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus claimed to be God. He said, I and the Father are one. That's in John 10. And the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees who were around him, were really upset, and they picked up stones to throw at him, to kill him. And they said, we are doing this because you are blaspheming. He said, you being a man are making yourself out to be God. They understood what he was saying. Jesus was saying, I'm God. Do you remember that story when these four men carried a paralyzed man on a stretcher and they opened the roof and they dropped it down in front of Jesus? And what did Jesus say to that man? He said, son, your sins are forgiven. Now, there were scribes and there were religious people, there were theologians, etc. And I said, what? What's he saying? Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? And I wonder if Jesus muttered under his breath, to right, because he was God. And then Philip, one of Jesus' disciples, was really upset because Jesus had said he was going to leave them. And Jesus was saying, don't be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. And Philip says to him, show us the Father. Which is his way, in a sense, of saying, I want to see God. Will you show me God? And Jesus says, don't you understand, Philip? Have I been with you so long and you don't understand? He who has seen me has seen the Father. I am the way, said Jesus, to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. But then the scriptures, don't they, as we go through scriptures, declare that Jesus is God. And I just want to make this point. He is creator and sustainer of the universe. By him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. And can I ask you a question? It's really difficult, but quite simple. Why are you alive right now? Have you ever thought about that? Maybe I'm weird and I ask myself the questions. But why are you sitting here breathing and your heart beating? Anybody know the answer? It's because God sustains you. You know, you can try and stop breathing. Who can stop their breathing? And for how long? You know, I used to be able to do a minute, but I don't know how long I could do it now. But some people could do it 3 minutes. But I can't stop breathing, and I can't stop my heart. I am sustained by God, because He sustains my life. He has work for each one of us to do. That's why we're here this morning. He's not finished with us yet. He's got work for you. He's got purposes for you. He loves you. And He wants you to live to fulfill His purposes. And Jesus claimed authority over life. He said He had authority over His own life. I think I've dropped down to the bottom one, haven't I? He says, I have authority to lay down my life and authority to take it up again. No one takes it from me. He said He had authority to give life to whom He will. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom He is pleased to give it. He said He had authority to judge. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. So we are obligated to worship Him. Did you know that we will all worship Him one day, whether we like it or not? It won't be voluntary. It says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And there are going to be many people, I think, who don't want to do it because they have not believed or trusted in Jesus. But they will have to. But we have the opportunity to do it because we want to. And that's reason to worship. He is God. And it says He's the faithful witness. He is the one who tells the truth. He's reliable. He not only witnesses to the truth, but He Himself is the truth. And He completed the work that the Father gave Him to do. We know that God became man. Jesus came to this earth. Let me rephrase that. God came to this earth and became man and became Jesus to show us what God is like. And He showed us that God is kind, that God is merciful, that God is good, that God is giving all the time, giving so generously, so much so that the demonstration was He gave Himself for us. So as faithful witness, He's worthy of our worship. He's firstborn from the dead. It says in Colossians, that in everything He might be preeminent. Now you might think, well, that's a bit weird statement. Firstborn from the dead. And in our culture, we tend to think, well, if He's firstborn, He must be the eldest in the family. He must be the one who was born first. That makes sense, doesn't it? In our way of thinking. But in their culture, the firstborn was a title of rank. Now usually it was the son who was born first. Fair comment. But it didn't always have to be. Sometimes the firstborn son would die or be killed in battle, and then the second son would become the firstborn. Or sometimes it might even be a nephew or a cousin. It's a title of rank. And Jesus was the first one who overcame death, never to die again. Now you might say, well, what about Lazarus? What about Jairus' daughter? What about the widow of Nain's son? But they had the misfortune of dying twice. Can't you think of it? It's not fair on Lazarus, I sometimes think. There he was. You know Lazarus, don't you? He was Miriam's brother, living in Bethany. And he became poorly, in fact, really poorly. He was dying, and so his sister said to Jesus, come, please, and heal him. And Jesus came a few days later, and by that time he had died. So poor old Lazarus has gone through that whole process of dying, only to be brought back again. Now, would you like that? I'm not sure how I would have reacted to that. Because, you know what? He had to go through the process the second time. That was a bit tough on him, I think. But anyway, I'm going around the bush now, and we don't really need to go there, do we? So that's reason to worship Him, firstborn from the dead, but ruler of the kings on the earth. And we'll skip through this a bit quicker. If the Queen of England came in to this church now, we would respect her and give her honour. because of a person, I think, and because of her office. But it was only temporary. In a few years' time, in view of her age, she'll probably be queen no more. If Joe Biden were to come, the president of America, we would respect him and call him Mr. President because of his office. No, I don't know him well enough to give him respect because of his person, but we would call him Mr. President. I'm going on dangerous ground here. You can see where I'm going, can't you? If Boris Johnson came in, I trust we would all show him respect because of his office and say, Mr. Prime Minister, or however you address him. But he's not going to be Prime Minister forever, is he? In fact, he might not be Prime Minister for very long. But our Lord and Saviour is King, ruler of the kings on earth forever. It says in Revelation 11:15, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. He's worthy of our worship. But then John goes on and he's described who he is, and he goes on to describe what he has done. He's freed us from us. No, I've jumped. He says, to him who loves us. Now, that is so good, isn't it? How much does he love you? How much does he love us? It's immeasurably and it's incomparably, but he loves us. If you're feeling down this morning, know that he loves you. If you're feeling tired and weary and you don't think you can go on, he loves you. And we're not talking about fluffy emotions here. We're talking about a love that's demonstrated. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. What's propitiation? That's a big word, isn't it? Now, if you were at home and playing football in the living room or throwing balls and your mum had this most precious vase, or even your dad had this fantastic TV, flat screen TV, and you kicked the ball where you didn't mean to kick it, and it shattered. Let's imagine it was a television. And your dad comes in, and what would he say? And what would he be like? Well, let's just say he would be a bit upset and a bit angry and maybe a bit distraught. And how can you appease his anger? What can you do? Oh, Dad, I'll get my pocket money out and I'll buy you a new TV. Would you do that? With all your pocket money? Would you? No, you wouldn't. Good, you got some sense. But then fortunately, someone comes into the room. It might be a neighbour, it might be a friend, it might be a relative. And they say, don't worry about it. I will sort it. That's what Christ did for our sins. He sorted them. He took the judgment and the anger and the wrath that was ours because of our rejection of God, and stood in our place. For one will scarcely die, it says, for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good person. Someone would even possibly dare to die. But God shows his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, and sometimes people say to me, well, I don't feel worthy to come to Christ. I don't feel good enough to come to him. I've got to wait till I'm a bit better before I can come to him and ask him to forgive me and save me. I'm not right at the moment. Well, that's silly. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. We can't make ourselves right before God. We can't make ourselves good enough. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. He's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And that's why we worship him, for he loves us. And we love him because we worship him because he freed us from our sins. Just look at one verse, I think. Christ died for sin once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. To bring you to God, he was put to death in the body but made alive to the sin. How are we brought to God? Christ brings us to God. We need to put our faith and trust in him and believe in him. And then he frees us from our sins by his blood. It's amazing to be set free. Do you remember the first lockdown? We were stuck indoors, virtually house arrest. Oh, I wonder how those people coped with families in flats and in small houses without gardens. It would have been awful. But I remember the sensation when we could go out and be set free. It was lovely. I could go out. I could meet people. I could greet people. I could see them again. Set free. We are liberated from our sins. We are delivered. And there's only one who can do that. The Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as we've been singing, he has conquered. And in that scene, he was given that scroll by the one on the throne, and he was worthy to open it. And finally, in reverse, we close. He has made us a kingdom priest to his God and Father. Nobody has become somebody. He has made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. He's worthy of our worship. Time has gone. He's worthy of our worship because of who he is. He's worthy of our worship because of what he has done. So, do we put him in first place in our lives? Do we give him our attention, our time, our resources, our energy, our service? Or is he just an add-on to our lives, and among many things that we actually worship in reality? Jesus is God. God said in Malachi to the priests, he says, you know, I wish you would shut the doors of the temple, or shut the doors of the church, in a sense, because you are offering me worthless worship. So let's just ask ourselves, is our worship worthy of the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have a worthy Saviour, one who has loved us so much that he gave his life for us, one who has freed us from our sins, one who has made us his, taken us into his kingdom, citizens of his kingdom, made us priests, made us those people who can serve him. He is God. He is the one who has all authority and all rank. So help us, Father, to worship him and to give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen.